Dear brothers and sisters, I am greeting all of you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I greet also all who are joining us online, and I wish all God's blessing. As you all noticed, our beloved brother Frank is not bodily present here, but spiritually he is joined with us. We visited him together with Brother Schmidt. He's feeling much, much better. He's still a bit weak in the body, but we trust the Lord that the Lord will restore him completely. Afterward, Brother Thomas Schmidt will sing with us a couple of songs. First, I would like to give you the greetings which Brother Frank addressed to all of us. I greet all of you in the precious name of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Today, I'm only in the spirit in your midst. According to the body, I'm weak, although my voice would be strong enough to preach the word of God. We are very near before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, that a new phase will set in. More about this the next time. Thank you that you have come from near and far. Thank you for all your prayers. Also today, God's word will accomplish for what he has sent it for. Joined in the love of God, Brother Frank. Please, Brother Thomas. Let us sing together song number 5 from these little booklets. What a friend we have in Jesus. Song number 5.
lasst uns noch Lied Nummer 29.
Let us also sing song number 29.
Mein König, mein Herr.
Song 29. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. 29. praise and thanks. Before we read a word of introduction, let us sing chorus number 14, Trust in the Lord and Never Doubt. 14. Number 8, only believe.
We
want to hold fast to the faith which was given to us. Also tonight, for the word of introduction, I would like to read from Job 33, and then Brother Reinhold Dunder comes and he will pray with us. Job 33, the well-known words from verse 23. If there be a messenger with him, a mediator, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy, for he will restore unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon man, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going down into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. Also, we can tune in. I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, but the Lord delivered my soul that it should not go down to the pit. And my life shall see the light. We live in the time of the evening, and it has become light for us, and we are walking in this light. It was revealed to us, and we expect from the Lord that he will give us tonight so that we can walk on step by step. We expect from him a food, and it's written, food he has given to them who fear him. And he redeemed our soul. Let us fear him for what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary. Praise and thanks be to him. Let us stand up for prayer. May the Lord bless us richly. Our Heavenly Father, in the assurance, we are coming into your presence, for we know we have a mediator in heaven. We know that you are alive and that you had mercy on us. And in this evening hour, we lay our brother before you. We know that he is in your arms and that he is safe in your arms. We believe and trust you that you have healed him. Lord, we trust that you are addressing our souls. Lord, that you will be merciful to us. For Lord, we have read and we believe that we may be in you, for we are waiting for you. Lord, give us the strength. Lord, in this hour, we are coming to you in the certainty and in the faith that you are able to give everything beyond what we can understand or ask. We are opening our hearts before you, that you will bless us and that you will not let us go as we have come here. To this evening, we lay into your hands. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy. You may be seated. Many, many phoned and they were inquiring how Brother Frank is feeling. Many have sent greetings. We have also serious prayer requests here. Of course, we are always praying for the ministers of the Lord, for they have a great responsibility before the Lord. And we know the Lord will strengthen him again and he will make all things well. But now, firstly, I would like to welcome all of you from near and far in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I would be happy if some who are here today for the first time, that they would stand up so that we welcome them in a special way. Do we have some here who are here today for the first time? Yes, there one sister, there a couple, and there in the back, a whole family, also a sister here. Be welcome in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you in a special way. Of course, we are in great expectation that the Lord also tonight will speak to our hearts. You are seeing me. One has to stand here in front. But it's of course not about the man here, brothers and sisters. It's about the attitude of our hearts. What kind of desire did we bring here? Do we want to have an experience with the Lord? Do we have this desire in us? Then it will be satisfied. It's not depending on a man. The Lord is present. He has given the promise. There where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you. And the Lord is today in our midst. I just think of the book of Acts. I think of Acts 10 in the house of Cornelius, when he received the instruction from the angel to send to Antioch and to call the man with the name of Peter. And when they were gathering, all of them, they were in a great expectation, brothers and sisters. Peter preached a very short sermon. He just testified of the Lord, and they received the Holy Spirit, the power from on high, because they were already in such a great expectation. They knew, here a man will preach the word of God to us, who will bring us salvation. And if we come in this expectation, we will also be blessed. It's all on us. It's not on the preacher, not depending. It's depending on our attitude, with what kind of expectation we have come to the house of the Lord. It was decided tonight we will see two of Brother Frank's TV sermons, which were broadcasted in the city of Berlin. We recorded these TV sermons, and many were blessed by them. I think most of us, we didn't see them yet, and it will be a blessing for us. We will let down the screen afterward, and then we will watch two of these TV sermons. And we want to listen closely, and the Lord will bless us. Now, before we do this, we will pray also for the sick. I just would like to give you some greetings here. Brethren are joined with us. They are having part in the meetings. They are joining us online. And also now, many will be joined. Many are joined. Here we have Brother and Sister Holviti from Finland sending greetings. Greetings from Kazakhstan, Karaganda, from the Ukraine, greetings from Russia. We have greetings from Brother Moses from Denver, Colorado, Brother Gratian from Ashdod, Israel, from the Ivory Coast, Father Jacques, Brother Silvan in Congo, I think from the DRC. Then we have Brother Christian from Ottawa, Canada, is sending greetings. Brother Gerard Kabuya from the Congo. Then we have Brother Nzengi Yumai from Burundi. It's a difficult name for us. But these are then Brother Ferry from Hungary is sending greetings. And then greetings from Surbey, Ivory Coast, and from Catania, and also greetings from the Congo, Burundi, from many who were writing or who were phoning. We cannot mention all the names here, but these brothers and sisters, they are joined with us, and they are sending greetings, and we rejoice that all are having part in the proclamation of the word, and together we experience the preparation. Then, now we have a serious prayer request. It was the wish of Brother Rus that we remember him in a special way. He again was transferred into the hospital. And he just says, may the will of the Lord be done. The Lord knows what is best for his children. We will just lay him in the hands of God, and the Lord will make it well. Then from Russia, a mother who has the desire that her son is getting saved. Also this we want to lay before the Lord. Then from Romania, we have one brother who is asking for prayer. He is sick, Brother Sergei from the city of Cluj. Then also prayer request for Sister Mary, also from Cluj. And also all the prayer requests, we will bring them all before the throne of God. Let us stand up, and Brother Schmidt will pray with us. We will lay everything before the Lord. Great God, you, the Almighty One and the Omnipresent One, you who have stretched out your hands there on the cross of Calvary, there you bore all our sicknesses, there you have given us healing and salvation. We thank you, Lord. You have heard all these prayer requests, all the names, all the problems and troubles. You know them. You alone are the one who can touch everyone. You said, I will be clean. Lord, save, heal, deliver, and manifest thy will, Lord. We ask it, not for our sakes, but for your sakes, for your name's sake, so that your name might be glorified and praised. We thank you for it. Oh Lord, amen. Let us sing a couple of choruses. You may be seated. The brothers will prepare the screen. They will let it down. Number two, I love him, I love him. Sweep over my soul.
Sehr verehrte Damen und Herren, liebe Brüder und Schwestern,
ladies and gentlemen, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, dear friends, I greet you very warmly in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. For me, it's a privilege to speak with you about God and his wonderful plan of salvation with mankind. My name is Brother Frank. I am well known, and I have also the responsibility for this broadcast. It's always about the same subjects. We have only one Bible. We have the Old and the New Testament. In the Old are the promises, the plan of salvation was announced beforehand. In the New Testament, everything is coming to fulfillment, what was said and announced in the Old. The subjects are remaining the same. Our personal experiences with the Lord, they should be at the first place. Because if we read in the Gospel of John, then we find in the first chapter the ministry of John the Baptist. Then we find our Lord at the marriage in Cana, at the wedding in Galilee, where he did the first miracle. But right in chapter 3, where our Lord started his ministry, he says to Nicodemus, and he says to all of us, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, what good is all the speaking? What good is all the singing about the kingdom of God if we not have yet been born into the kingdom of God personally? And here, we are already at the subject. As a human being is being born into this natural world and lives here, so also a human being must be born again by the Holy Spirit. As before the birth, there is a begetting, a seed is there. In the seed is life, a germ of life. And then comes the birth. So it is in the spiritual. First, the begetting must take place by the Spirit. That's how it was with Mary. When the announcement was given of the birth of the Savior, the angel Gabriel said, "The Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee, and the Holy One born of thee is of the Holy Ghost. And he shall be called the Son of God." But before that, came what was written in Psalms 2. "Thou art my Son, today I have begotten thee." We cannot go into detail here, but it shall be clear once for all that just like that, we cannot come into the kingdom of God just like that. No, that in a supernatural way, the Spirit of God must work the new life. The life of Jesus Christ must be manifested so that really a supernatural experience takes place, a conversion, a new birth, and then, of course, also the baptism with the Holy Ghost. So that we don't go deceived from time into eternity. And then maybe hope on the deathbed to have a church burial. This church burial doesn't help anyone. Death doesn't change anything. And the parson who holds the sermon does also not help. Only God, while we are alive, God wants to give a new life by His grace. And to speak with Paul, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is past. Behold, I make all things new. And if we thus have received the adoption, and if we have been born again unto a new hope, then we can read, for instance, Colossians chapter 1, and we find ourselves here again. Here it's written, of course, Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So, it starts with it, that a man has an experience with God, personal. The plan of salvation becomes only personal if we make our personal experience of salvation. Paul could look back and he could say, I have experienced the conversion. I have heard the voice of the Lord. I have seen the supernatural light. And the hands were laid on him. And he could see again. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he was baptized. Now the second phase. The second. And this is our preparation unto the return, unto the day of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was promised to us in the New Testament, repeatedly promised. Already in John 14, our Lord says, I go to prepare the place for you, and I come again to receive you unto myself, so that you are there where I am also. We have to see it the right way. God is from eternity to eternity, but he has a time plan. God has a time plan with mankind, and God has a time plan with the New Testament church. And God has a time plan with Israel. If we look into the history of mankind, then we had around 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham. Then once again 2,000 years from Abraham to Christ. And now we, again, the next, we crossed already the next 2,000 years. And one has to say it clearly. The seventh thousand years will be the millennium on the earth. We will reign with Christ 1,000 years. By the way, according to biblical speaking, it's the last day from Pentecost. That means 2,000 years ago, when the church started, when it was established, then started the last days. Therefore, it's written in Hebrews chapter 1, from verse 1, that God at sundry times spake in times past by the prophets. But in these last days he spoke unto us in his Son. And therefore, Peter, in the first sermon, Acts 2, from verse 16, he was pointing to that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as promised and announced in the prophet Joel, has happened at that time, namely, in the last days. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. That's how it is written in 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 10. Actually, we can start already with verse 8, because verse 10 says already that the day of the Lord will come. I cannot go into all these important Bible terms. What is, for instance, the day of the Lord? Here in 2 Peter chapter 3, we read of the scoffers who would come on the scene at the end of days. It means in the end time they would arise and they would ask, where is the return of Jesus Christ? Nothing is changing. Everything remains as it was. But then comes the answer in verse 8, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And afterward comes then the hint, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Yes, he is not slack, but he doesn't want that some perish, but that all who are ordained for eternal life, that they hear the divine message, that they believe in Jesus Christ, because in him God revealed himself to us for our salvation. Then we read in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief. One just has to say it. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. That's how it is written in the prophet Isaiah 49. That's how it is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. But the time of grace will have an end. The day of salvation comes to its end. And the day of the Lord, which will burn as an oven, it comes. The reckoning comes. The world will be in flames. That's how it is written. I could read it here. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. It comes. And after this comes a new beginning. Firstly, the millennium, the peace of the 1,000 years of peace, and afterward, a new heaven and a new earth, where there's only righteousness and only holiness. Peace and joy will be there. Among all who were counted worthy to accept the divine offer, to become believers, to agree with God, to place oneself on the side of God. Then we have the fulfillment of the Bible prophecy in our time. Peter writes that we should take heed to the word of prophecy, which shineth as a bright light in a dark place. Again, we are here at a very serious point, and this must be said, dear ladies and gentlemen, dear brothers and sisters, precious friends, that God's word is only being interpreted all over. Just look, search for one man who gets on the platform who doesn't bring his own interpretation about which was he was reading. And this is the big problem. We have many churches, we have many denominations in all the peoples, in all the nations on the earth, and all over, in every denomination, and everyone who gets on the platform, he has his own interpretation, his own sights, his own explanation about God and his word, about Bible subjects. And this is not possible. This is not possible in the Church of Jesus Christ. Every church, every denomination may believe what is being taught there. They can do what is being said there. They are allowed to. But the Church of Jesus Christ is not submitted to any human system. Is not, does not have to answer to any church or denomination. The Church of Jesus Christ has only one obligation, namely to believe as the Scripture says it, and to do as God's Word says it from the very beginning, and how the Lord commanded it. And therefore, Peter, in the first sermon, he said to thousands of people, repent and be baptized, every one of you. The repentance comes first. The faith, the confessing of sins before the Lord comes then. And then accepting the forgiveness of sins. And then as a confirmation, the believer lets himself be baptized according to the Great Commission, Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized. And to the believers, in the first sermon they were told, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So my task is to go back to the original proclamation, to all the teachings as they are left to us in the Holy Scripture. Precious friends, dear brothers and sisters, then there's another thought of our preparation. It's written in Matthew 25, verse 10, those who were ready went in to the marriage supper. In Revelation 19, verse 7, it says, and his bride has made herself ready. That speaks of the marriage supper. It speaks of the rapture. And then we read in Hebrews 11 that Enoch walked with God, and suddenly he was raptured, and he was not found anymore on the earth. In Matthew 24, we read, two will be on one bed. One shall be taken, and one will be left. Two will grind at a mill, and two will work on a field. One will be taken, and the other one will be left. So, only those who are really ready, they will have part in the rapture. And now, we are at the very serious point. Our preparation can only take place if the will of God takes place in our lives. Not only praying, thy will be done, as in heaven, so also on the earth. No, as our Lord said at that time, who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? And he gave the answer, all who are doing the will of my Father in heaven, these are my brothers, these are my sisters. What is the will of God? Firstly, the will of God is that all human beings are saved, that all are coming to the knowledge of the truth. But then, we have the mighty word of Paul addressed to Timothy that the time would come, namely the end time, where many would fall away from the faith and would run after teachings which are of demons. And in Matthew 24, our Lord says, of the false prophets, of the false Christs, the false anointed ones, the people will run after them.
Diese Kirche gehört all den anderen, die Vermutung unterstellen. Sie sind ja falsche Propheten.
Or can say, oh, these are false prophets because they're teaching different than we. No, false prophets and false Christs and false apostles are those who are not teaching what Christ has taught, who are not practicing what the apostles practiced, who are not agreeing with that what Christ, what the prophets and what the apostles were teaching and what they are doing. These, they are false. Right are only those with whom life, practice and teachings which is in agreement with the apostles and prophets. So, not just stamping others as false, no, standing before God and asking, how is it with me? How is it with me? Do I agree with God and His Word? Do I walk in the footsteps of the doctrine of the Bible as they were left to us? Dear brothers and sisters, it is end time. And please believe me, when Brother Branham, 1933, was commissioned to carry out the ministry, he was told, from the supernatural light, he was told, from a cloud of light which was descending, he was told, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. Now the question, was the ministry of John the Baptist, was it necessary in the plan of salvation? Had it to be? Because it was promised in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 40, verse 3, and also Malachi 3, verse 1, it was promised. Of course it was. It had to be, this ministry, because it was part of the divine plan of salvation for that time, at the first coming of Christ. The same it is now. God said, behold, I send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. I was reading from 2 Peter chapter 3, the day of the Lord comes, and it will burn as an oven, and the elements will go up in flames. But before this terrible day of the divine wrath and reckoning comes, God promised that He would send a prophet like Elijah to bring us back to the Word, to turn, to reach our hearts, so that we return to the biblical faith as with our fathers, as with our apostolic fathers, that we are brought back to them. My task is to be in agreement with the doctrine of the apostles, to bring these teachings to the people and to say, we are living at the end of the time of grace, of the calling out and of the preparation of the Church of Jesus Christ is taking place. I can only say, whoever has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Please, please, listen, because God speaks always through His Word, not by the interpretation. By all the interpretations, the enemy was misleading the people. God is speaking to us through His Holy Word, also today. And God's Word remains forever. And if we abide in this Word, and if the Word abides in us, then we also, we will be blessed and we will be found in the will of God when our Lord will return to take his own home. God bless you all and be with you. Amen. Let us sing Only Believe. Then comes the second sermon. Ladies and gentlemen, dear brothers and sisters, precious friends, I greet all of you very warmly in the precious name of our beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have the great privilege to have these broadcasts and to speak with you about God and his wonderful plan of salvation with mankind. For me, it's a great privilege. I'm also responsible for this broadcast. My name is Brother Frank. Most of you know me. More than 50 years, I'm acquainted, or I'm commissioned, entrusted with the preaching of the Word. Since many years, I'm traveling around the world. I've visited 135 countries, and many countries I visited more often to preach the wonderful message of the gospel, the message of God, with all the promises which the Lord has given us in his word. To acquaint the true believers with what God has decided in his plan of salvation. It's just about that the Church of Jesus Christ, now at the end of the time of grace, comes into the same stand and position as it was at the beginning. The same equipping with the power from on high. The same commission, the carrying out of the Great Commission, so that the whole counsel of God is being preached. That people who get believers, that they are biblically baptized by an immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That by this faith and obedience is being reached in all things, so that the agreement with God and God's word finally is here again. We all know that already in the early church, men came on the scene who were in opposition, who were preaching in opposition to the apostles, which are not part of the original proclamation. Some were claiming that there is no resurrection at all. And the others were claiming that the resurrection took place already. And others, they were even baptized for the dead. And then a Jannes and Jambres stood up and they were doing their havoc and things in the time of Moses. And Paul said, that's how it will be again at the end of time. Our Lord announced false Christs and false prophets, men who would arise and who would say that they are preaching in the name of Christ. And nevertheless, their proclamation and preaching is not in agreement with the apostles and prophets. And this is the big problem. We must, and this is really a divine must, we must read what was preached, what was taught, what was taught about the Godhead, what was taught about the biblical baptism, what was taught about the Lord's Supper, what was taught about the first resurrection, what was taught about the second resurrection, what is in reference, what was said in reference to Israel, what kind of promises were given to the church. We just have to stop to just think that all are saying the right thing. The right thing is only written in the Bible. Please believe me that there's not one single book on the earth except the Bible in which God really speaks to us. Through which God speaks to us. In the Old and New Testament, God said everything. What he has to say to us. Every Bible subject, every practice, everything and again everything is already written in the Holy Scripture. Now, the Scripture is being interpreted 100,000-fold. It is interpreted. And the people are still under the impression that it is about God's word. But this is not the case anymore. It's only God's word if we read the Bible. Not if any evangelist or any charismatic gives a decoration and gives his interpretation and his explanations about the Holy Scripture. This is no more God's word. This is human word. And this we must really distinguish seriously. I repeat myself. If, for instance, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42, is written, and they remained in the doctrine of the apostles, in the fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers, then somebody can read 100 times this scripture and speak about it, and doesn't even think about to remain in the doctrine of the apostles, and to celebrate the Lord's Supper as our Lord celebrated it. Namely, that one bread is being baken without leaven. That there was only one cup and that the bread was blessed and broken. And then the cup was blessed and it was given out, handed out. That's how it was in the early church. And no high spiritual person was needed. No, in the houses they were celebrating the Lord's Supper of those who became believers and who were led by the Holy Spirit. The same it is with the baptism. There's only one Lord, only one faith, and only one baptism. If you look into Christianity, then all are baptizing as they want. Some are baptizing infants, the other ones are baptizing forward, the other ones are baptizing backward, some are baptizing three times under. According to Matthew 28, they think that the baptism must be done three times, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and then in the name of the Holy Ghost. But such a baptism does not exist in the book of Acts and in the early church. It doesn't exist. Neither infants were sprinkled, nor people were dipped under three times. No. At that time, they understood. It was revealed by the Spirit that the name in which God revealed himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that this name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Son has the name, has revealed the name of the Father. And as already in the natural, the Son has the name of the Father. That's how the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is one and the same name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the same, the term Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. In the Son, the Father came personally to us. And so the Son could say, he who sees me sees the Father. John 14. So, the commission which was given to us by God is therein to bring the original proclamation, the original practice in all Bible doctrines, to put it anew upon the lampstand. And time and again it may be said here, God, in all of the Old and New Testament, he always used men whom he called and whom he ordained for special tasks. He has sent them. And there it was, for instance, Abraham, a prophet, who had a personal fellowship with God and who received the wonderful promises were given to Abraham and to his seed. In the New Testament, he is called the Father of faith and the Father of the believers. Abraham believed God. Not that what he had seen was impressing him. No. For him, the promise which God had given was everything. It was everything for him. And then we see the other man of God, Moses, a special man of God. A commission was given to him, as it was unique on the earth. Moses had to carry it out. Moses knew God personally. Abraham knew God personally. All the prophets knew God personally. And all of Israel, they experienced it, of course, that the Lord God, in the pillar of fire, in the pillar of cloud, he came down. That he was visible at the entrance of the tabernacle. In the pillar of cloud he appeared. He spoke to Moses face to face. All the prophets, they had personal fellowship with God. Now the transmission to the New Testament. John the Baptist could say, in reference to our Lord and Redeemer, he could say, I didn't know him, I knew him not, but he who sent me to baptize, he said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit of God descending and remaining on him, it is him who baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John the Baptist had a personal connection with God. The angel Gabriel came to him. He gave him instructions, as already before, to his father Zacharias. And this one has to know. The supernatural working of God belongs to it. If God is not present, then nothing supernatural happens. We see it at the birth of our Lord. First, the announcement by the angel Gabriel. Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power from the Most High shall overshadow thee. Yes, and then the Holy One born of thee is of the Holy Ghost. But right at that time of the birth, all of heaven came down, and the night around Bethlehem was illuminated. The heavenly choir was singing, and one angel gave the announcement, Luke chapter 2, verse 11, for unto you is born today the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Also in the New Testament, we can start with Peter, Paul. We can read it with the apostles, that they experienced the supernatural working of God. They experienced it, a commission, a sending. They have heard the voice of the Lord. And this goes up to John, the apostle, who saw the last visions on the Isle of Patmos, who saw the end time, who saw everything until the new earth and new heaven would be here. And what do we read here? Revelation 1, 1 to 3, that God has sent an angel to tell him everything. And then in Revelation 22, once again, I, Jesus, I have sent mine angel to tell you all these things. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, why did I say this all? Why? To tell you that Brother Branham really, in the same way he experienced the supernatural working of God. Already 1933, the supernatural light came down in the presence of around 4,000 people over the Ohio River in the USA. It came down when Brother Branham was about to baptize the 17th person in the water, biblically. And behold, out of this supernatural light, which was hanging above Brother Branham, the voice said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. I'm asking now, do we still live in Bible days? Is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is the Spirit of God still at work? Is the Church of the Living God still here? Or do we have just a general Christendom in which there are churches and denominations? My task is to speak to those who are really part of the Church of Jesus Christ, who believe in the supernatural working of God, which is taking place also today, who wants to have part in it. Of Brother Branham, I just want to mention one more experience, namely that from the 7th of May, 1946, the angel of the Lord came to Brother Branham into the room. The supernatural light came into the room. And the angel of the Lord said, as Moses were given two signs, so also you are given two signs. A gift of divine healing is given to you, and God will be with you. Brothers and sisters, why do I have to mention this? Why may I not hide it from you? Because God wants it. I'm not interested in all the programs which people have. I, and also this I may say humbly, I have also a divine commission I received. This may go now beyond what you have heard now, up to now. But I, Brother Frank, on the 2nd of April, 1962, it was a Monday morning, right before the sunrise, I have heard the voice of the Almighty with these ears. I have heard it in the German language. And every word was spoken clearly. My servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my word. With one slap, I was lying on the carpet. The voice came from up, but from the right, and I fell down to the left side. These words are as true as every word in the Holy Scripture. I don't have to invent any story and to tell you any story. I can really say, as the apostles, as the prophets, I can report about it, to have received a divine commission, a sending I have received. And I must go from city to city, from country to country, to preach the wonderful message of God with all the promises. Because that's what's all about now. It is about the everlasting gospel. It is about the Bible teachings. It is about the Bible prophecy, the word of prophecy, about the Godhead, about the baptism, about the Lord's Supper. In fact, about every Bible subject, about every Bible teaching, that everything comes back to the origin, to the beginning, namely into the divine order, in the full agreement with the Holy Scripture. Therefore, we reject every interpretation of the Holy Scripture. We really accept only to that, we only accept what the Holy Scripture really teaches. And therefore, please let me emphasize this once again. Ladies and gentlemen, dear brothers and sisters, precious friends, now it is about, before the return of Jesus Christ, to give the calling out. The calling out what from everything what is not in agreement with God and His Word. To come out from all the Babylon, to be separated, to be sanctified in the Word of Truth. Because thus it is written, without holiness no one shall see the Lord. And that's how it is written. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is the truth. We must face the facts. Look here, brothers and sisters. The return of the Lord is really at hand. And it is still written in Matthew 25, verse 10, those who were ready went in to the marriage supper, and the door was closed. Is it so difficult for you to believe that God promised a prophet who would come before the great and terrible day of the Lord to turn the hearts of the children of God back again to the faith of the fathers, to restore all things, to restore? I am convinced that by this divine last message, all will be called out who are part of the bright church of Jesus Christ. We will not impose ourselves on anyone. We will not force anyone. But as Paul said in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, we will always say, be ye reconciled with God, because it is God who beseeches us. I hope that God has spoken to us, to all of us, by his word, and that we take the message of the word seriously, that we lay everything before the Lord, that we ask him for clarity, and he will reveal everything to us by his grace. Once again, I want to say, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And the Spirit says, the Spirit speaks to all who are part of the church of Jesus Christ. He is still walking. Our Lord is still walking amidst the seven golden lampstands, as written to us in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 2 and chapter 3. The Lord God, may he bless you all and be with you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let us sing Only Believe, Only Believe.
I believe
all of us. We have much reason to thank God for the grace which has been given to us, for these wonderful testimonies which we heard tonight, and for the messenger which God has sent and whom he has called, that this message which he has given to Brother Branham, his servant and prophet, he has carried it to the ends of the earth, the message of the calling out and preparation of the bride. I don't know how you feel, but I'm grateful to God for Brother Frank and for his faithfulness, which he proved all these years, serving the Lord. It's really the first time where he cannot be here, except the one where he was sick with malaria. But we see the Lord has done great things. And the word was preached in all of the world. Now it's more than 155 countries. We see the Lord is still on the plan and the word of God is still being proclaimed. My heart is rejoicing that we have been brought back to the original word, to the doctrine of the apostles. It makes me so happy. All the scriptures which we have heard today, I don't know. I didn't know that the things were done like this today. It was done, first it was said to play a sermon of Brother Branham, but then parallel to it, brothers had a desire that also the sermons of Berlin should be also shown, and it was also confirmed with Brother Frank, but the information didn't go through to my ears. I just heard it now. At home, I was making my thoughts about the condition of the church and how it should go on with all of us. And time and again, my attention fell on the promises of God, which God has given for our time. And this is the most important, brothers and sisters, that we have it before our eyes. It starts with a promise in Malachi 4, verse 5, as we heard it in the sermon, that he would send the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. We all know the first part was fulfilled with John the Baptist, that the fathers were turned to the children. It was the beginning. And now the second part is being fulfilled. At the first coming of the Lord was not yet the terrible day. It was the glorious day, the wonderful day of salvation, the acceptable time. But now, as we heard it, 2,000 years have passed, and we are living before the day of the Lord. And as we heard it, that the scoffers would come on the scene, and they say, where is the promise of his return? We see it in our time, how all Bible prophecies are being fulfilled, especially Matthew 24, where our Lord said that in this time false prophets, false Christs, false anointed ones would come on the scene and would mislead many. Brother Frank emphasized it many times, and we know it. But what is it about today? That we believe the promises of God, and we really received wonderful promises. The greatest promise is of that of John 14. I go to prepare the place for you, and then I come again to take you unto myself, so that you are there where I am also. And we are waiting for his return, that he takes us home. And then this wonderful promise in Revelation chapter 3, that he that overcometh shall sit with me on my throne, just as I have overcome. Brothers and sisters, there's no greater and more wonderful promise that we together we will be with our Lord. It's not about ruling and reigning with our Lord, no. But the Lord has chosen us as his bride. We are his bride, whom he has purchased and redeemed. And now we're living in the preparation time. We time and again heard it. And his bride has made herself ready. And then she went in and the door was shut. Now it's the time of preparation. And we see the signs of the time. They are being fulfilled before our eyes. Brother Frank said it in his word that a new phase is about to start. And I believe that the return of the Lord is so near as never before. And that we really have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, to put everything aside what is not right in the sight of God. Brothers and sisters, we have to experience the same what our brothers and sisters experienced at the beginning, the filling with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Brothers and sisters, it's really time that we seek the face of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I'm really touched by these words. These days, I was listening to many sermons of Brother Branham, and in all the sermons, the bride must be prepared. Of course, you are all reading the Word of God. You are diligent to also read the sermons of Brother Branham. What is a message? For what? To prepare the bride. And it's really important that we recognize everything what God has spoken to us, and that we really loosen ourselves from everything what is not in agreement with his word. God wants to sanctify us in his word and in his truth. And for this reason, we have come here. Let us stand up now and pray. I would like to ask that some brothers, really in short prayers, thank the Lord. I don't want to call names. Let us tune in prayer. Let us sing Just As I Am.
Danke sei dir, Herr, für die Botschaft. Danke dir für die Träger der Botschaft.
Ja.
Danke dir für alles.
Himmlischer Vater, ich danke dir, Herr, für diese eine Stunde, Herr, dass wir uns hier versammeln durften, Herr, um dein Wort zu hören. Ich danke dir, dass du uns die teuren Verheißungen wieder vor Augen geführt hast, Herr, die für unsere Zeit jetzt wichtig sind, Herr. Herr, ich danke dir, Herr, dass du in unser Herz das Verlangen danach gestellt hast, Herr, dass diese Verheißungen, Herr, in meinem, in unserem Leben in Erfüllung gehen, Herr, mein Gott. Ich danke dir für die Belehrung, die wir empfangen durften, Herr, in dieser Zeit, Herr. Nicht, Herr, dass wir Wissen aufhäufen, Herr, sondern dass wir wissen, Herr, wie spät es an der Uhr ist, Herr, damit du uns zubereiten kannst, Herr, durch dein wunderbares und heiliges Wort, Herr. Ich danke dir, Herr, dass wir in dieser Zeit der Zubereitung leben dürfen, Herr, mein Gott, dass du an unseren Herzen wirkst, Herr, durch dein kostbares und heiliges Wort, Herr, das auf den Leuchter gestellt worden ist, Herr, in dieser Zeit, Herr. Herr, ich bitte dich, Herr, segne uns alle gemeinsam, Herr, hier an diesem Ort, Herr. Herr, ich bitte dich, segne deinen Knechten und Boten, Herr, der dein Wort treu ausgeteilt hat, Herr, all die Jahre lang, Herr, mein Gott. Ich danke dir, Herr, dass die Verbindung zu dir hergestellt worden ist, Herr, durch die Verkündigung deines kostbaren Wortes, Herr. Und dass unser Glaube, Herr, der in uns gewachsen ist, Herr, mein Gott, Herr, in den Verheißungen verankert ist, Herr, die du uns gegeben hast, Herr. Dir sei für alles Lob und Preis und Dank dargeboten, jetzt und in alle Ewigkeit. Halleluja. Amen.
Treuer Vater im Himmel, in Jesu heiligem Namen, wir danken dir, dass wir sehen dürfen, wie sich deine Verheißungen erfüllen.
Ja,
Gloria deinem herrlichen Namen. Amen.
Amen.
Wir wollen noch gemeinsam in das Gebet einstimmen. Treuer himmlischer Vater, wir blicken zu dem Gnadenthron, wo das Blut des Lammes uns heute Abend spricht. O Herr, sieh uns gnädig.
Be merciful to us, Lord. Work in us what is well pleasing to you. Bring us into the right stand before you, so that your promises can be fulfilled in us. Work in all of us what is well pleasing to you. As you were with your servant Enoch, and as you instructed him, Lord, so let us also be with you. You are the one who is leading us and guiding us. Lord, we thank you that you have sent your messengers who have brought us your word faithfully. We thank you also for our precious brother Frank, your servant, who has preached your word so faithfully. Oh, these wonderful mysteries he has put upon the lampstand, and the way of salvation is illuminated, so that we can walk on it without stumbling. Give grace now for the obedience of faith, so that we put in practice the heard word. Lord, we need your help. We need your grace. We cannot do it by ourselves. May your Spirit work in us the willing and the doing. Lord, we consecrate ourselves anew unto you. Take everything away from us what is not in agreement with your word. Cleanse us, sanctify us through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Forgive all our shortcomings. Give us, Lord, the connection to yourself and to one another in the divine love. Bring us back to the origin, to the first love. Bring us back to the first fruits, so that your name might be glorified. Lord, we ask it with all our hearts. Glorify thy name, Lord. Give glory to thy name. deliver us from all lukewarmness. Give us such a desire for you, so that we cannot wait until we are in your presence. Lord, please revive your work. Bless near and far all who are joining us. Lord, you know all the problems. You know all the needs of your children. Once again, we lay everything before you, trusting and believing that you have made all damage well on the cross of Calvary. You have defeated the enemy. You have conquered him. And ours is the victory. Lord, we glorify your name. We praise you. For you are our Redeemer. You are our Lord, our Bridegroom. To you be the praise. To you be the honor. Lord, continue to bless us and be with us. And be with your servant, Lord. Strengthen him so that he can testify wherever you may send him, Lord. Please open the hearts, open the ears. Give a longing for your word as you promised it, so the people can hear the truth. Lord, give grace before the terrible day of the Lord comes. Call out the last ones. We lay everything before you, and we believe and trust that you make all things well. To you be the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us sing, I worship you with all my heart. I don't know how you feel, but I believe that the Lord has spoken to all of us through his word. And we are in great expectation that he will also give us grace tomorrow to speak to our hearts. Let us remain silent. Let us be joined with the Lord. Let us not have unnecessary conversations, only such conversations which are for the edification. And when we come here, let us come in reverence. Let us come with a longing heart, with an expectation, prayerfully, so that the Lord can really bless us, so that he can manifest himself. The Lord be with you all. May he bless you all. And may he give you all his peace. The grace of the Lord be with you until tomorrow morning. Amen. Hallelujah be praised. Each one is shaking hands with each one.